Chodesh Elul in general, certainly in the final minutes before we begin Slichas, is a time for Cheshbon HaNefesh, time for introspection, time to ask big, penetrating, searching questions about life, about the direction of our lives, about how we spend our time, because ultimately time is life. The question which I'd like to explore together tonight concerns Avodas Hashem. Ultimately, the question we want to put to ourselves is, are we Ovedet Hashem in the fullest sense of the term? Are we Ovedet Hashem according to the Torah's conception of what Avodas Hashem entails? Clearly, before we can attempt to answer that question, we have to clarify what Avodas Hashem means for the Torah. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, avodahem asher oseisi osom me'eretz Mitzrayim ani Hashem Elokeichem. The Torah tells us at the end of Parshas Zahar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, b'nei Yisrael amai avodim, they are avodim to me, I was the one who took them out of the land of Mitzrayim, ani Hashem Elokeichem. Hence, the term Avodas Hashem, we're Avodim, servants, slaves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To begin to understand what that entails, let's just very, very briefly mention a sugya in Rosh Hashanah. One Rosh Hashanah discusses the following question. A person can accept upon himself a vow not to derive benefit. Same way a person can take a vow that I will not derive benefit, he could say, I won't derive benefit from this table. A person can accept upon himself such a vow vis-a-vis another person. Reuven can say that I hereby accept upon myself a neder not to derive any benefit from Shimon. And then he becomes what the halacha calls, what the gemara calls, muda hanoa from Shimon. He's not allowed to derive any benefit from Shimon. Shimon will invite him for dinner, but Reuven is bound by the power of his neder, by the power of his vow, that he can't accept that invitation. He's not allowed to derive any benefit. But then the Gemara poses the following question. Let's say Reuven comes to Shul on Rosh Hashanah, and Shimon is the Baal Pakeh. Reuven has accepted upon himself a neder not to derive any benefit from Shimon. He comes to show, lo and behold, none other than Shimon is the Baal Pakeya. Is he allowed to be Yotzei? Is he allowed to fulfill his mitzvah listening to Shimon blowing shofar? There's a machlokas about this point in the Gemara. Rava is of the opinion, which is how we paskin, that mitzvah lav lehanos nitna, that in fact Reuven can fulfill the mitzvah listening to Shimon's tkiyah shofar, and that doesn't violate his vow, because mitzvah is lav lehanos nitna. Fulfilling mitzvahs is not something that we classify as a benefit. There is a dissenting opinion in the Gemara that says no, that in fact the fulfillment of a mitzvah does constitute a hanor, should be classified and understood as deriving benefit. We'll come back, I hope, before we finish, to try to understand what the point of contention is here in the Gemara. Rashi says, what does Rava mean, mitzvah lav lehanos nitnu? Rashi gives us a very stark definition. He says that mitzvahs were not given that they should be a source of hanofa, but la'ol al tzavarei ha'nitna. The mitzvahs are intended to be a yoke, a upon our necks. All our tzavareihim nitznu. Another question which we'll have to come back to before we finish. How do we reconcile that with Pesukim and Chumash, such as when Moshe Rabbeinu tells us that Vayitzaveinu Hashem Elokeinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do all the mitzvahs, the Tov Lanu, V'chayoseinu K'hayom Hazeh. The Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is motivated L'Tov Lanu, for our good, V'chayoseinu, that it should be a source of life, ultimately of eternal life. No greater Hanoah than that. But what does Rava mean that Mitzvah Ravli Hanos Nitno? What does Rashi mean with this seemingly very narrow definition that mitzvahs are intended la'ol al tzavareihim, that mitzvahs are intended to be a yoke upon our necks? There is a famous Gemara in Shabbos with which you're all familiar, by Yisyatsu the Sachta Sahor. At the time of Kabbalah Satorah, when we received the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted Har Sinai, held it over us, and as it were, coerced us to accept the Torah. Im atem mekable mutar v'im la sham tehekruaschem. If you accept the Torah, fine and well. Otherwise, this will be your burial place. Tosis raises a question, what need was there for coercion? We had already voluntarily accepted the Torah. We had already willingly said, Nasa v'nishma. There is a famous answer which the Sfarim quote from the Midrash Tanchuma, that Torah Shebechsav, we had accepted willingly, that we were willing to subscribe to, but the Torah Shebaalpeh, the oral law, so there we were holding out. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu coerced us to accept the accompanying Torah Shebaalpeh. Perhaps there's another answer as well. And that is, while part of the ideal is that a person should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu willingly, voluntarily, out of love, which is why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered us the Torah, He wanted and waited that we should make a voluntary commitment, that we should make a commitment out of love. But simultaneously, it's essential, it's integral to a man's relationship, to a person's relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that a person has to recognize and feel with every fiber of his being that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Borei Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who commands, and we are Yitzir Kapov, we are His handiwork, and we are Mitzuvim. Essential to any homo religiosus, any religious personality, is this sense of being a mitzvah. It doesn't eclipse, it doesn't prevent the sense of love that we strive for, the sense of volunteerism in our Avodas Hashem, but essential to the persona of an Oved Hashem is the sense of being a mitzvah. That's the correct, the same way, no matter what love exists. To give an example, whatever love exists, and it should be deep and it should be profound between parent and child, but there's no collegiality. There's not supposed to be collegiality in the parent-child relationship. There should be love, there should be closeness, there should be intimacy. But the Torah says it's supposed to be mora also. It's not a collegial relationship. Father, a mother can't be mochel on their clothes. They can't waive the respect due to them and tell the child, call me by my first name. Lahavdil, whatever ahava we strive for, whatever ahava is the ultimate goal of our Avodas Hashem, But the relationship has to be based in a sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Metzave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who commands, and we are commanded. And that's integral to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what's signified by the fact that even though we had voluntarily accepted the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but now, representing this other element, this other dimension, which is so pivotal, so basic, so fundamental, now there's going to be a coercion that we should recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Metzave, is the one who commands, and we are Metzuvim. So far, our understanding of some of the elements of Avdus, of Avodas Hashem, we bear a yoke, la'ol al tzavareyam nitnu, Rashi defines. In addition, there's supposed to be an awareness, existential, almost visceral awareness that we're mitzuvim, that the Ribono Shel Olam, the Borei Olam, the Creator, is the one who commands, and we, His handiwork, His servants, are mitzuvim, we're commanded. But there's another very basic and fundamental element to avdus in halacha, in general, even in the human realm, and again, lahavdil, in our avdus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is that according to the halacha, an eved is subordinate to his master constantly. There are no set hours. There's no work day of 9 to 5 that an Eved has to adhere to. An Eved is subordinate to his master around the clock, 24/7. And in accordance with this, Chazal tells us, V'chol ma'asecha yu v'shem shamayim. Everything a person does is supposed to be calibrated, calculated, and then implemented all according to one single defining orienting principle, and that is L'shem Shamayim, for the sake of heaven. That's what Shlomo HaMelech conveys, B'chol drachecha do'ehu. The Rambam describes such a lifestyle that a person is motivated in pursuing his livelihood. A person is motivated that there are basic necessities which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to provide for, so that it provides a setting, a backdrop for a life of Avodas Hashem. And that's what should motivate a person. Yetze olam v'fa'alo v'la'avodosu ade'orev, when a person goes out to earn his sustenance, to earn his livelihood, not because he's looking for money to indulge himself, but rather to provide the setting, the grounding, to provide the necessities so that he can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says when a person goes to sleep, to restore himself, to refresh himself, so he'll wake up the next morning energized to another day of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam says, if a person is successful in carrying out this mandate, nimtza ovedes Hashem tamid. The result is that a person serves Hashem continuously. Afilu b'shar shehu yashen, even when a person is not even conscious. But if he's calibrating the amount of sleep that he needs to be healthy and to be vigorous, to be Ovedes Hashem, so even his sleep, even when he's unconscious, even the sleep is an act of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is an act of Avodas Hashem. It should be noted, I think maybe over the years we've had occasion to comment on this, you know, when one looks up, if one follows up on the cross-references from the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos to where the Rambam quotes them, so some Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, the Rambam relegates to a perek in Hilchos Zeyus, which is devoted to the higher standard the heightened expectations from the Talmud Chacham. The Rambam says, "Kishem shehachacham nika b'dayosa." The same way a Chacham stands out by virtue of his knowledge, he has to stand out by virtue of his conduct and by virtue of his disposition. And some of the challenges, some of the mandates in Pirkei Avos, even though the Mishnayos don't explicitly indicate so, the Rambam interprets that these were intended as the higher standard for the Talmud Chacham. Nevertheless, the mission of V'chol Ma'asech Yiyu L'Shem Shamayim, that a person is supposed to strive that everything he does is sincerely calculated and then implemented L'Shem Shamayim for the sake of heaven, the Rambam quotes that in the Perek, which is universally binding. That's not a standard which was intended only for an elite few. A notion that one's entire life should be a life of service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something which the Torah wanted us all to partake of. That's a vision for all of us. It's not a vision for a spiritual elite. It's a vision for all of us. V'chol Ma'asecha Yiyu L'Shem Shamayim, because this is part of what Avdus entails. An Eved doesn't have a 9-to-5 day. An Eved is totally, totally subordinate to his master. Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us that Reb Tashfon used the following analogy to describe our obligation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu: Hayom Kotzor V'Hamalacha Meruba, the day is short, the amount of work to be accomplished is great. Hapoalim Aselim, the workers are lazy. Hasocher Hazeh, the reward is great. Ubalabayas Dochek, and the Balabayas, the employer, the owner, is pushing, is urging, is exhorting, pressuring. The Mishnah continues, Lo alecha hamalacha ligmor, lo atu ben chorim hibatel mimena. Rabbeinu Yonah comments on the Mishnah, amplifies, relating it specifically to the obligation of Talmud Torah, and says, Shelo tomar, don't say, Hoil ve'eni chayim ligmor samalacha, since no one expects me to finish the malacha, because after all, there's a disparity. Hayom kotzer v'hamalacha meruba. The day is short, and the malacha, the amount of work to be accomplished, is almost endless. So if that's the case, a person will say, lo etzor atzmi, I'm not going to push myself. Ela elmad b'chol yom shah achas. I'll spend an hour. Lo chein adavo, says Rabbeinu Yonah, ki eved konui ata, because you're an eved who belongs to the master. Olehu lahagav v'yomam v'layla, that a person should apply himself to Talmud Torah day and night. Avdus entails amola, exertion, and hasmoda, and utilizing one's time to one's fullest. As the Pasuk says, Adam la'amol yulad. Here, Rav Pinkus Zatzal has a very, very important observation. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of course, is incumbent upon men. Women are exempt from Talmud Torah. Says Rav Pinkus, but don't make the mistake of thinking that the Torah's expectation from women is any less than that from men. If a man, in the mitzvahs which the Torah imposes upon him, is expected to exert himself, is expected to work as hard as possible, to devote his entire life to Avodas Hashem. That same level and that same degree of amala is expected from women. The Torah's expectations are no less. Which mitzvot are incumbent? The Torah has distinctions. But this notion of Adam la'omol yulod, that a person's entire being, a person's entire life should be dedicated, should be devoted to Avodas Hashem, is not gender specific. How that's channeled, how that's applied, there the Torah has distinctions. But the magnitude of the obligation, where the bar is set, is the same. Now this outlook of the Torah, this hashkofa, that Avodas Hashem is something which should dominate our lives. It's something which is all-encompassing. It's something which should preoccupy us 24 hours a day. It's something which, truth be told, is very alien to us. Our notion of being a shomer mitzvah, so that's one element in our life. Hopefully we would describe it as an important element of our lives. But too often, I'm afraid, we don't feel and we don't think of it as an all-encompassing, all-consuming obligation. True that the obligation some hours of the day tells me to go to work and to earn a livelihood, and other hours of the day it tells me I should be in the Beis Medrash, and other hours of the day I should be in Shul Davening, and other hours of the day I should be engaged in acts of Chesed and Sarki Tzibur. It expresses itself differently. But the demand is that my entire life should be oriented to Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem is not one component of our life which can be compartmentalized. Sometimes we sort of, if we explain the foci of our lives, sometimes we comment, well, we sort of have three foci in our lives. One is our religious obligations, but then of course I have professional aspirations, and then of course there's the personal side of one's life, one's family. Everything is valid to the extent that the Torah validates it. Everything is valid and has a claim on our time to the degree and to the extent that as part of our Avdus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that we should be engaged in that. It's not an independent claim in our time. We have a truncated conception of Avodas Hashem. Take an example. Our notion of Shabbos. Our notion of Shabbos is that we pay our dues on Shabbos. We go to shul. Probably we go to the rabbi's shir an hour before mincha. But then we've paid our dues. Then the rest of the time is mine. The rest of the time is mine to socialize very leisurely. For hours on end, not necessarily that the conversation should be devoted to Divrei Torah, but it's the rest of the day is a vacation day, part of the weekend. And that sort of illustrates representatively this rather narrow, truncated vision and conception of Avodas Hashem that we have, which stands in marked contrast to the Torah's notion of v'chol ma'asech yu l'shem shamayim, of nimsa oved es Hashem tomid. Now this erroneous conception that we pay our dues, we go to shul, we have a shir, an hour here, an hour there, and then we have our own time, is intertwined with another very basic error in our outlook. To a degree, Baruch Hashem, not entirely, but to a degree, the way we live our lives, not necessarily what we know and think and profess, but the way we live our lives reflects a belief that there's something ultimate about Olam Hazeh. That the enjoyment, that the pleasures, that the material, physical pleasure, opportunities for pleasures in Olam Hazeh is something that we have to capitalize on. It's something that a person has to take advantage of. To a degree, we live as though our life in Olam Hazeh were the Ikka. To a degree, we take vacations not calibrated by what's necessary to re-energize ourselves, but truth be told, that to a degree, we live for our vacation. That summer, that spot that we go to in the summer or in the midwinter, is not just necessary and therefore mitzvah activity, again, of recharging one's batteries, but to a degree we live for that. We look forward to that. We live for that as though that was something ultimate. Chazal tell us differently. Chazal tell us Ha'olam hazeh doma l'tozdo b'shnei atraklin. That Olam Hazeh is an empty chamber. The banquet hall is Olam Haba. This world is an empty chamber. Haskin asmucho b'tozdo k'dei sh'tikonis atraklin. Rabbeinu Bachya says m'chol v'chalvavos, very powerful, and he compresses it into a single line, a single sentence. He says, love of Olam Hazeh and love of Olam Haba are antithetical. Love of Olam Hazeh in the sense of the physical enjoyment, the physical pleasures, and love of Olam Haba are antithetical. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, to the degree that a person loves Olam Hazeh, again, not Olam Hazeh as the venue for Torah and Mitzvah, not the person loves Olam Hazeh the way the Vilna Gaon cried on his deathbed. A person loves Olam Hazeh in the sense of the enjoyment and the pleasures of Olam Hazeh. Says Rabbeinu Bachya Mechol Salvavos, to the degree that a person loves Olam Hazeh, to that degree he's spurning Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh, in the sense of which we're speaking of it again, in that physical, materialistic sense. So a person, if that's a person's orientation, so that's at odds with the spiritual orientation of Olam Hazeh. Rabbeinu Bachya says, no more can love of Olam Hazeh and Olam Hazeh coexist than fire and water can coexist. They're antithetical. To a degree, we love Olam Hazeh for its own sake. We love for its own sake the rest, the relaxation, the recreation, the vacation, the pleasures of Olam Hazeh for their own sake. If we have that orientation, little wonder that the Torah's notion of l'chol ma'aseh yu l'shem shamayim, that everything we do should be devoted to our avodas Hashem, is something alien to us. Because devoting everything we do to avodas Hashem precludes, it just contradicts any attempt to maximize the physical, temporal, ephemeral pleasures and enjoyment of Olam Hazeh. So we do use our time, but the question is what we use our time for. We do use our time. We work hard, we save up money, so that we'll be able to enjoy ourselves. We use our time, but the question is what we're using our time for. One final element, one final dimension, as part of our truncated conception of Avodas Hashem, and Avodas Hashem, which is limited and restricted, as a result, our whole notion and understanding of religion and Torah becomes skewed. Torah is something which has to always, initially, instantaneously feel good. It has to be an instantaneous gratification. It certainly shouldn't inconvenience us. Whether we go to Minyan daily, three times daily, isn't necessarily a function of what's possible or impossible, but is more often than not a function of what's convenient or inconvenient. And that's all cut from the same cloth. If we have truncated conception of Avodas Hashem, if Avodas Hashem is something we pay our dues, we go to Shul Shabbos, we go to the Rabbi's Shir an hour before Mincha, if it's raining, so then you don't go to Mincha. You don't go to Mincha. Because it has its place. And there are other things in my life also. If something isn't immediately uplifting, if something represents the discipline of Yadus, which, if we would think about it, we would recognize as indispensable for true ruchnias, for true spirituality, for a true quest of Kedusha, but if something represents the discipline of Yadus, it doesn't have that immediate, doesn't elicit that immediate gratification, doesn't necessarily attract us. And we end up with a very different desire, a very different inclination, a very different conception than Rashi's definition of mitzvot lav lehonos nitnu, that mitzvot l'ol al savarehim nitnu. But let's stop for a minute and try to understand. We've seen that avdus entails a yoke, l'ol al savarehim nitnu. We've seen that avdus demands hasmada, constant, perpetual devotion. Everyone, according to the best of his or her abilities, energies, situation in life, everyone is supposed to strive and exert himself, herself, again, ba'asher husham, given their abilities, given their opportunities, to the fullest. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu such a taskmaster? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanding so much from us? There are two answers. Answer number one, consider a mashal, consider an analogy. Let's say you have a gifted child, very gifted athlete, exceptionally gifted, a little lazy, but he has the ability to become a superstar. His coach knows that nothing will give him greater satisfaction. Nothing will be a source of greater sipuk hanefesh to this child than if he's able to realize that American dream. But the child is young, he's immature, he's foolish, he's not driven to maximize his abilities. So the coach pushes him and pushes him and pushes him. And he drills him, and he makes him take another hour of batting practice, a and makes him feel the ground ball for another hour. He pushes and pushes and pushes. Possibly the young athlete appreciates it at the time. More likely he doesn't. More likely he's even resentful. But then the coach's plan works out. And the child, Tucker, grows up to superstardom. And he looks back and he realizes that unless he had been pushed to the limit, he never would have realized his potential. The Medrash tells us that that's what it means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us an Nisayon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to give us a test because he doesn't know what the result of the test would be. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that unless we're challenged, we don't reach down and use all our potential. It's only when we're pushed to the limit that we fully realize and develop our potential. A doctor once commented to the Rav Zichrono Livracha, he was driving him somewhere. So he commented to him and he said, Rebbe, if we had worked as hard during our years in yeshiva as we did during our years in medical school, he said, we'd all be bekiyim in shas. We'd all be experts in shas. So I'm not sure whether there should be some discount for divra Torah b'lashon havai. Maybe there's an element of exaggeration here. Maybe there's not an element of exaggeration. But the point is that in medical school, with the boards looming at the end of the second year of medical school, one's entire future riding on success in those boards, a person feels challenged. A person finds out exactly how much relaxation time he really needs in order to work to the fullest. A person finds out how much sleep he really needs to function at his best. When a person feels challenged, he responds. The problem is that we don't realize that that challenge is constant. The reason the Baal HaBayis is dochek is the reason the Baal HaBayis, the employer, the Baal HaBayis in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos's imagery and its analogy, the reason the Baal HaBayis is constantly pressuring, constantly urging, constantly pushing, is because the Baal HaBayis knows that otherwise we're going to cheat ourselves. We're not going to cheat him. Otherwise we're going to cheat ourselves. Otherwise this young, gifted athlete is going to squander his ability. But if the coach pushes him and pushes him to the limit, not beyond the limit, not the breaking point, but he pushes him to the limit, so then he'll capitalize and he'll take advantage, full advantage, of his abilities, of his gifts. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that that's the way human nature is, and that's why the Baal HaBayis is dochek. So why is it that Avodas Hashem is all-encompassing? Because anything less means not that we cheat the Ribono Shel Olam. Anything less means that we cheat ourselves. But there's another reason also. There's another dimension of significance here to the demands, to the pressing, the constant pressure, the constant urging, more and more and more. Become a better Oved Hashem. Go to the next level. There's another reason for it also. And for that, we have to learn two psukim in Chumash. Two psukim that we say daily, several times daily, in the Parsha of Shema. The first pasuk of Shema, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is the formulation of our belief in the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, the root, Havaya, in Lashon HaKodesh means existence. The name of Hashem, the tetragram, and Yudkei Vavkei represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source, the sustainer of all existence. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, and that we exist only through him, because of him, because he lets us share that existence. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the pasuk of Shema. The next pasuk, Va'ahavta is Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'odecha. The mitzvah of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mitzvah of, if circumstances warrant, sacrificing one's life, Al Kiddush Hashem, for the sanctification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. What's the continuity here in the Pesukim? The Ibn Ezra comments V'ahavta V'acha she'en lanu eloka acher raku levado chayev ato she'to havenu ki ein lanu eloka acher. The kernel of what we're about to say is in the Ibn Ezra, but let's develop it a little bit more. The mitzvah to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all one's heart, with all one's soul, with everything one has, v'chol me'odecha, is a direct reflection of the fact that Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad means, as the Chumash elsewhere teaches us, that ultimately, ein od melvado. Ultimately, nothing exists independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing exists without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein od melvado. Ato hereso vadas, ki Hashem hu elokim, ein od melvado. There is nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything exists through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because He wills it. And that's the only, that's what everything is. Ein od melvado. Ein od melvado, if nothing else exists, then that has to be reflected in the way we live our lives. If I'm a doctor, and I'm a nutritionist, and I know what diet is helpful and what diet is not helpful, so that's going to be reflected in the way I eat. If we understand on the deep level, on the profound level, what Hashem Echad means, that it conveys, again, not only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not two, but it conveys, again, Ein Od Melvado, that there's nothing other than Hashem. Nothing exists without Hashem. Everything exists because of Hashem, through Hashem, because He allows anything and everything else that exists to share in His existence. So how can a person live any way other than V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, with all his heart, b'chol nafshecha, with all his soul, b'chol me'odecha? Says the Ibn Ezra, b'chol levavcha haleif hu adas. The heart represents the intelligence. V'hu kinoi l'ruach ha'maskele. Nafshecha, according to the Ibn Ezra in this context, hi ha'ruach she'baguf hi ha'misava, is the desires that we have. Everything has to be channeled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because if Ein Od Melvado, that has to be reflected. In Yahadus, there's no disparity between belief and behavior. If there's a belief, that belief has to be reflected in behavior. If there's a belief in divine providence, in personal divine providence as there is, so then that has to be reflected into our behavior, how we deal with adversity, how we deal with frustrations. We see it as Yad Hashem, the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore that has to mold our actions and reactions. There can't be any incongruence, any disparity between belief and behavior. Ein od melvado, there's nothing truly, ultimately, other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then how can there be anything truly, ultimately in our lives other than that devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now maybe I'm laying it on too thick. Maybe I found some sources. maybe they really do, maybe they really are intended for the spiritual elite, they're not relevant to us. So listen to this Ramban in Parshas Ki Seitzer. Ramban is commenting on the Parsha Ben Sarah Omora. And Sarah Omora, as you know, the wayward son, he's a 13-year-old, in the first month after his bar mitzvah, he eats and drinks gluttonously. He refuses, he rejects his parents' admonitions. The Torah says he should be given misa. He should be given misa. He's given capital punishment. Ramban says, what's he being indicted for? Ein onshin elam ken nasirin. The Gemara has a principle that the Torah never punishes unless the Torah has first warned us against it. If there's a punishment forthcoming, that means that there was a mitzvah, there was a commandment beforehand. So what is the Ben Sora Umola guilty of? The Ramban says he's indicted on two scores. First of all, says the Ramban, the Ben Sora Umola is guilty for the disdain, for the contemptuousness towards his parents and his rebelliousness against his parents. That's one count on which the Ben Sora Umora is indicted. Then says the Ramban, and again, this Ben Sora Umora is not necessarily the son of the Gadol Hador, the son of the most distinguished family of Rabbanim. He's anyone. He's any Jew. Says the Ramban, listen to this. The Nehemah, the Over, the Hasheni, the second count in the indictment, Shehu Zorel the Sovei, he's gluttonous. Over El Mashin Itzavinu, Kedoshim Tiyu. The Mesorah Omora is guilty. The Torah has a mandate, has an imperative Kedoshim Tiyu, to be holy, to sanctify ourselves. He violates that. V'nama Od, Ramban says, V'oso sa'avodu, avdus. We have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'vosid bokun, kasher perashti, shenitztavinu lodaas Hashem b'chol drachenu. We're commanded to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything and through everything we do. When a person allows this gluttony to shape and mold his character, for them that is so antithetical to this imperative of Nitztavinu Lodaas Hashem, we're commanded to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol drachenu v'zorel v'sovei lo yeda derech Hashem. This glutton will never know the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'd like to clarify this, I don't mean Chas V'Sholem to imply for a second that because all of us are deficient in our amoba, in our exertion, because all of us are deficient in maximizing our time to Avodat Hashem, I don't mean, Rachmanu Litzlan, that we don't genuinely believe Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But, if a person, b'shita, a person in principle, says that his conception of Avodas Hashem is a limited one, so then that is a fundamental distortion of our obligations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and willy-nilly that encroaches upon reflecting Yichud Hashem. Willy-nilly that prevents our belief in Yichud Hashem, in Ein Od Milvado, from being reflected in our behavior. Every one of us has to implement this mandate in his or her own individual, unique way. The inference, the diuk, from the Mesilas Yesharim, where the Mesilas Yesharim, where Ramchal speaks of Chovas Ha'odam Ba'olamo, a person's obligation in his world, in his private world, in his private universe. Within Torah, there has to be individualization. The balance that one person will have between his Talmud Torah and his Tefillah and his Chesed and the amount of hours that he has to devote to earning his livelihood will not be the same balance as another person. And that balance has to be determined based upon the person's position, his station, his temperament, his abilities, his opportunities. But the common denominator is that every one of us has to strive and exert ourselves to the best of our ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do we need breaks? Do we need to recharge our batteries? We do, and it's a mitzvah to do so, but it should be calibrated for that purpose. But the questions that we raised at the outset, we still haven't answered. What's the point of contention in the Gemara whether mitzvahs lehonos netnu or mitzvahs lav lehonos netnu? How can Rava say that mitzvahs are only to be an oil, to be a yoke upon us? The Torah tells us that it's l'tov lano l'chayosenu k'hayom hazeh. In order to answer these questions, let's raise one final question. The pasuk with which we began, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that b'nei Yisrael are my servants, avodai hem asher hotzeisi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stakes his claim upon our loyalty, upon our devotion to the fact that he took us out of Mitzrayim. And so in the Aseret HaDibro, Sanochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzitzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Yibayt Avodim. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to appeal to that fact? And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Beratzicha, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Anochi Mechaya Oscha, I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created you, I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu who sustains you, I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gives you life, would we have had a right to question his claim on our loyalty? Okay, so maybe it's to explain why we're obligated in 613 mitzvahs and not only 7 mitzvahs, but there's much more to it than that. And that is that there is one final element of avdus. Avdus entails, again, all, bearing a yoke. Avdus entails amala, exertion. Avdus entails, again, a constant commitment of v'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. Talmud, but Avdus connotes something else also. And that feature is highlighted by a famous story in the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son fell ill, he sent a messenger to his disciple Rabbi Chanina, that Rabbi Chanina should daven in his behalf. In fact, Rabbi Chanina davens on behalf of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and the son recovers. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai then comments that Ilmolei hitiach, that if I had placed my head between my knees and had davened all day long, my tefillah wouldn't have been accepted. But Rabbi Chanina's tefillah was accepted instantaneously. His wife says to him, V'chi Chanina gadol nimcha? Is Rabbi Chanina greater than you? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answers him, no, he's not greater than me. But ani dome kesar lifnei hamelech, and Chanina dome ke'eved lifnei hamelech. I have cabinet status. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says that even if you have cabinet status, you can't walk into the president without an appointment. Chanina Mendoza, he doesn't have cabinet status. He's the private secretary. He's an eved. He's a servant. He doesn't have cabinet status. But the servant walks in and out all day long to the king. He doesn't need the appointment. Avdus also entails intimacy. Avdus entails servitude. It entails bearing the yoke. It entails working as hard as we possibly can. But avdus also entails intimacy. The answer is, what is Torah and Mitzvahs all about? Is it all pushing and pressure and yoke? Or is it l'tov lanu? That depends upon whose perspective. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective is, you know why I'm pushing? I'm pushing l'tov lanem, b'chayosem kayom hazeh. I'm pushing them that they should live eternally. I'm pushing them because the way they're going to earn that eternal life, the way they can come close to me, is by exerting themselves to the fullest. I'm doing it to give them hana'ah. That's what Torah and Mitzvahs is all about. But for us to fulfill and to carry out and implement that design of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't do it for self-serving reasons. We have to experience it as an all. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vantage point, it's l'tov lanu l'chayofeinu k'hayom hazeh, the regimen of Torah which does push us. It pushes us to make the most of ourselves. It pushes us to be Oved et Hashem the best we can for as many hours a day as we possibly can. It pushes our bayis dochek, not the way we live, not the way we coast through life. The Torah pushes us. Why? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vantage point, it's l'tov lanu l'chayofeinu k'hayom hazeh. Rav Yehuda in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, when you look at a mitzvah, you have to look at it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vantage point also. Torah is a hanor, mitzvahs are a hanor. There's no greater hanor, there's no greater benefit which issues forth from anything than from mitzvahs. Rava says, you're right, I don't dispute that, but I think for purposes of this halacha, we're supposed to view the mitzvah from what is supposed to motivate us. What's supposed to motivate us is that we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because we're looking for the reward, but we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu just because we're his avodim. He's the metzaveh. He's the one who holds the mountain over us. We're the metzuvim. That's supposed to be what motivates us. What's motivating HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's motivating HaKadosh Baruch Hu is l'tov lanu l'chayoseinu k'hayom hazeh. There's four no comments at the end of the first of this morning's two parshios. The Parshas Nitzavim concludes, "Ve'ena sati l'fanecha hayom et hachayim et hatov et hamoves et haro." HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Look, I'm putting before you today life and good, death and evil. Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, I'm commanding you today la'avot Hashem alokecha to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu lalechus v'drachot to go in His ways v'lishma mitzvot v'chukosav u'mishpat, and to observe all His mitzvot, all His commandments, all His ordinances. V'chayisa v'ravisa, and you'll live and you'll multiply. V'ayrachucha Hashem alokecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless you bo'aret asher hatov Hashem alurishta, in the land which you come to inherit. V'mitna levavcha v'losishma, however, if your heart will turn away and you won't listen, and you'll serve Avodah Zarah, so higati lachem hayom ki ozo tavedun, you'll be destroyed. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, ha'idosi lachem hayom et ha'shamayim et ha'oret, I call heaven and earth to serve as my witnesses, ha'chayim v'amodes nasati v'fonecha ha'docha v'ha'kol, I'm putting before you life and death, blessing and curse, u'v'charta v'chayim, choose life, l'man tichya atov zarecha, so that you and your children will live. Listen to the Sforno. The Sforno encapsulates everything we've been talking about in a few beautiful words. Es hachayim lo'ad. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Nasati l'fanach hayom es hachayim, it means eternal life. Eternal life. And Mazas also, Lo'ad says the Sforno. It also means for eternity. Then the Sforno says, L'man tichya atav zarecha uvacharza b'chayim. Choose life, Chaye Ad, eternal life. Leman tichya atavis arech la'avas Hashem alokecha v'onmarti shetivchar b'chayim. When you choose life, I've said, this is Forno expounding, amplifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words, lo ka'ove al menaf l'kavo pras. Serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not out of self-interest, aval amati shetivchar, you choose to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu for its own sake, lo. I'm interpolating that word. Aval amati shetivchar mashu chayim be'emez bovad. Why? Why? Because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is l'man tachbos b'chayei shor l'zeh tachos b'olvad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that we should have eternity l'tov lanu l'chayoseinu k'hayom hazeh. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. How is that achieved? It's not achieved by looking for the self-interest. It's not achieved by looking for easy life, by relaxing, by coasting, by giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu an hour of our day, an hour to go to a shir. But it's rather, no, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with everything. Not al menaf l'kavo pras. Serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with everything. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want it so you'll have chaye ad. But you do it. You do it for its own sake. And that's exactly what Rava says. Mitzvah lav lehonos nitnu. It's an all. We're being pushed. We're being exhorted. We're being pressured. Why? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing that all. Uvachata v'chayim. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, that on Rosh Hashanah, we should all be inscribed. V'chayim. U'v'shalom. V'sifron. Shal tzadikim gemurim.